Well, we've arrived at the weekend. And the weekend will wrap up with the big game. The Super Bowl. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Kazi. Mike, I have to start off with something else.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, first of all.
All right, good morning.
The Knicks did it again. Just when you think this franchise can't get any screwier, any lower, any more disgraceful, just when you think that they've bottomed out, they find a way to dig a new hole and open up another new low.
Well, I want to congratulate Porzingis.
They traded Porzingis.
Because he figured out a way to get out of hell.
Where did they trade him to?
Dallas.
And you know what? Cuban runs that franchise, right?
Uh-huh.
This kid's going to be a superstar. You wait and see.
Well, we'll wait and see about that because there's a couple of conflicting stories. One is how he has no work ethic. He doesn't go to the gym. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. If that's true, that's bad for him. But maybe he's just crazy like a fox. Maybe he didn't do all this stuff on purpose so the Knicks get rid of him. Because who would want to be on a team that has 10 wins? Especially if you have any potential as a player. So we'll see how it plays out. However, even if Porzingis is the lazy player that they say he is, the Knicks will screw this up. They got 2 first-round draft picks and 3 players for him. We'll see who those 3 players, how they perform for the Knicks. But they're not going to probably perform too well because the Knicks' main goal this year is to get the number 1 draft pick or to attempt to get it. And they think they're going to get Zion Williamson from Duke, which will never happen because the Knicks will never win the lottery to get the first-round pick.
They never do.
So you see how it plays out. I was shocked. I just think Porzingis wanted out of New York, and they obliged him. And you can't blame Porzingis for wanting out of New York because this team shows no movement toward becoming a better franchise. They haven't for 20 years. And, you know, a leopard doesn't change his spots.
The Knicks stink, and
he wanted out. And I'm happy for him for leaving. Like I said, he got out of hell for free.
I'm not upset. I'm just mad. I'm just mad. I just think.
Well, whenever you hear the words Knicks, Mets, and Jets, you have to expect the worst.
You can't
expect anything good happening. I mean, after all, the Mets think that they're a contender, so don't drink the water in Flushing. It's poisoned.
Now, another story that I think deserves a little look at. The Cowboys are not likely to extend Jason Garrett's contract, okay?
I thought they were.
Nope. Looks like they're not going to do it.
Is it expire this year?
I'm not sure when it expires, but let me put it this way. If it expires this year, I think there's a coach on the horizon that they would hire in a second. And I think he'd go there. Who do you think?
Rex Ryan.
No. Someone you like.
Well, nobody I like is going to go there.
Oh, sure.
Former coach. I don't like many football coaches.
Former coach of the Packers. Why wouldn't he
McCarthy?
Go there?
McCarthy?
Yeah, why wouldn't he go there?
He couldn't put up with a little bit of zaniness with the Packers ownership. He's not going to put up with Johnson. No way. Not happening.
Don't think so. Okay.
No, I would seriously doubt if McCarthy went to Dallas. He's getting a couple million, I think, for next year, maybe the year after that. I'm not 100% sure. He's not going to Dallas. I'd be shocked if he goes to Dallas. Totally shocked. Why would anybody want to put up with Jimmy Johnson? You know that the first day that you, not Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, The first day you put your name on your contract, you know that it has an expiration date, and there's a lot of trouble between now and then. Why would you want to do it? Unless he's getting paid like $12 million a year to pay for the sins, he's not going there.
All right. So, anyways, this is his final year coaching this year.
This is his last year that he's getting paid.
Yeah, and they're not going
to. Oh, you mean Garrett?
Yeah, they're not extending his contract. Yeah.
Well, I would get rid of him now.
Yeah, well, I think that's.
I mean, you're going to tell a guy you're going to get fired at the end of the year? Is he really going to care?
I know. It's something you look at and you say, "Wow,
it's stupid." I mean, so if the Cowboys go out next year and they're 13-3 and they get to the Super Bowl, Garrett's going to get fired.
No, by then Garrett will turn around and demand a super big contract.
And
Jones will be stuck with him. Yeah.
Don't drink the water in Dallas either. It's as bad as Flushing. How could you tell a guy in the end of January, the beginning of February, you're done after next year? You haven't played next year yet. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, if the Cowboys underachieve and they go 5-11, well, I'm pretty sure Garrett knows he's not going to get rehired. If they go 12-4 and get into the championship game even, he's not going nowhere. What a stupid statement by a stupid owner. Mm.
And one other thing, the Rangers, Texas Rangers, new stadium. They're putting in a synthetic field, not a grass field. I just think that's bad for the players. I just really do.
In tech, let me ask. I don't know. Does the place have a roof?
I'm pretty sure that this new place is going to have a roof.
Well, then I can understand it. If you have a roof, you got to have it. You can't have a retractable roof with it. It's hard to maintain it. If you're playing outside in Texas with artificial turf, there's going to be a lot of players looking to leave Texas because the field temperature will probably be about 135 degrees. But if they have a roof and it's air-conditioned, you got to have an artificial turf.
All right. Well, oh, well. They say they... They did a lot of research on it. They said that it's actually safer than...
Well, then they must have those little black things out of it that cause cancer.
I'm looking at the Rangers' new stadium, and yeah, it will have a roof.
So then you have to have it.
Looks a lot like the Astros stadium. Okay. And they say the stadium should last through 2048.
So it has a 20-year lifespan. That's pretty good.
No, 30. 30?
Yeah, close 30. To 30. All right.
30.
That's nice. I won't be here when they get a new one.
No. So now, Super Bowl pick.
Oh, New England.
Yeah, we're both picking New England. All right. Anything else in sports, really?
Yeah, let's get on to some horse picks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's the horse picks.
3-year-old season is starting. We're even going to have a race from Aqueduct this weekend, folks. The ninth race tomorrow is the Grade 3 Withers, a mile and an eighth, two-turn race. Draws a short field of seven, as is the norm in New York winter racing. A couple horses I'm looking at in here. One is the 5, Lucky Lee, trained by John Service. Since this horse is stretched out going two turns both at Parks and receiving Lasix, he's won by 5, and he's won by 6. Last time he won at 4-5. So expect Lucky Lee to put in a nice run. This horse has an abundance of early speed, and he'll be pushing the pace early. Another horse is the 6, Our Brain Trust. This horse ran second in the Jerome on New Year's Day at Aqueduct. Horse is training well, and 6-1 morning line in this race. The horse is a ewe, first time going two turns. So we'll see how he runs that. But my top pick is going to be the one horse, Tax. This horse broke his maiden at Keeneland going a mile and a 16th, came back in the Remsen on December 1st, ran third, and the horse that beat him that day is even money tomorrow in the Holy Bull. Not so much that I like that horse in the Holy Bull, but I like Tax in this spot. So the number one horse, Tax, will be my top pick at Aqueduct and Withers tomorrow. With the 5, Lucky Lee, and the 6, Our Brain Trust, rounding it out underneath. Heading down to Florida for some 3-year-old races. The 9th race tomorrow is the 4-Wood Gal, Grade 3, going 7 furlongs on the dirt. This is for 3-year-old fillies and mares. This race draws 9. Two horses I'm looking at in here. One is the 3, Fashion Faux Pas. This horse is coming off a nice 4-length win and the Sandpiper at Tampa Bay. All being on a sloppy track. but all you have to do is look to the running line before that at Laurel in November, and the horse won by over 5 lengths on a fast track. So this horse can run on any surface. Armand Delacour brings this horse across state for the race from Tampa to Gulfstream, and that 4-1 Fashion Faux Pas will be my top pick. Horse I'm going to use underneath is the 7 horse, Bye Bye Jay. You go from Mauricio Vasquez to Johnny Velasquez riding for Ron Spatz. This horse ran a nice race in the house party, sat just off the beginning speed and went ran away on this race at 6-1. This horse is undefeated on the dirt, 2-2. And as an old friend of mine said, undefeated is undefeated. You got to bet them until they lose, and I believe in that. So the 3, Fashion Faux Pas, and the 7, Bye Bye Jay, are my picks in the forward gal. From there, we go to the next race, which is the Swale. Glad to see they got it back to 7 furlongs at Gulfstream. Horse in here that I bet first time out, the 4, High Crime, which was coming off a big bullet work at Churchill Downs Training Center. This horse came off of that work to run at Gulfstream on January 12th. All the horse did was win by 8 lengths, and it was never in doubt at 7.5-1. I like this horse a lot tomorrow at 4-1. Darren Miller doesn't have a lot of win early horses, so when he has one, this horse could be something special. So the 4 horse, High Crime, is not only my play in the Swale, but my pick of the day. And a horse that I'm going to use underneath is the 11 Country Singer, trained by Ralph Nix. This horse is going to go right to the front. This horse has won at Calder, Gulfstream Park West, and comes right off of that 5-length victory to win by 6 at Gulfstream on December 19th. And another horse I'm going to use in here is the 8 horse, trained by David Falks. This horse is 2-2 last 2 times on the dirt after coming off the turf. Has a decent work at Gulfstream, and this is another horse that's going to add to the pace. So the 4, High Crime, the 8, Seismic Jolt, and the 11, Country Singer, my plays in that race. The big race of the day at Gulfstream is the 2-turn Holy Bull going 1/16. We have 10 horses lining up for this. The horse Tax that I mentioned before, the horse that beat him is back in this race, Maximum Mischief. This horse is going right to the front and play catch me if you can, and I think they're going to catch him. A very slow pace in the Remsen, going 50 to the half and just under 115. This horse is going to get pushed hard early. Butch Reed at even money at Gulfstream Park does not look good for me. Even though this horse is working out real good, I'm not going to go with this horse. Two horses I like in here. One is the 6 horse, Mijos. This horse gets picked up by Johnny Velasquez. Won his last 2, going 1 turn, 6 furlongs at Aqueduct and 1 mile at Gulfstream. I'm going to use this horse because I think this horse is going to sit off the pace and close. But my top pick in this race is the 15-1 shot, Harvey Wallbanger. Kenny McPeak's barn's pretty hot lately. This horse hasn't been seen since the middle of November, Churchill Downs, when he broke his maiden. Just missed in the race prior to that at 3-5 and 4-5, respectively. This horse is breaking sticks in the morning at Gulfstream Park. Very, very sharp, bred for the 2 turns, has the pace advantage in here to come from off the pace, and at 15-1, give me all the tickets you can. So the 5, Harvey Wallbanger, is my top pick in the Holy Bull. The 6, Mijos, is my second choice, and the even money favorite, Maximum Mischief, is a total toss.